Hello and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
You for the last few minutes of our service a little bit about what we've been talking about. We began a series called Christmas Questions last Sunday, and as I've looked at the Christmas story over the years, I've had questions that have come into my mind, but you know, we don't want to mess up a good thing. And Christmas is a good thing, isn't it? And so why complicate the issues by asking questions that nobody else seems to ask? And so we've all had these kind of questions about the Christmas story because there's things in it that cause you to wonder and ponder it. Why did God do it this way? And so last week we began this series with the question of why was there no room at the inn in Bethlehem when Jesus was there being born? Why? Why couldn't God have provided a place better than a stable for his son? So we looked at that last week. This Sunday, we're going to look at the question, why were the shepherds the first to know about Christ's birth? Why did God choose shepherds to reveal the birth of Christ to, first and foremost? We're going to explore that this morning. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the familiar Christmas story, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it to gain and glean some insight into perhaps why God chose the shepherds to be the ones that would hear first about the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Now it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Now let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Heavenly Father, as we ponder in our hearts some of the very same things that Mary must have been pondering that night of Christ's birth, within her heart, We pray, Lord, that you would take us and help us to explore the world of the shepherds, those whom you chose divinely to be the first that would be greeted with the good news of Jesus Christ and his birth into this world, the long-awaited promised Messiah. Lord, speak to us and teach us more about Jesus and more about you during this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we entered the world of the shepherds, and we consider the shepherds, they were the lowliest and lowest class of all the workers in Israel. They were like what we would consider day laborers of the Jewish people. They were dirty. They smelled bad. They rarely showered. They didn't shave. They slept out in the open with animals, and their only friends were other shepherds. Have you ever wondered why God chose to announce the birth of his son that he would bring into this world to shepherds? Why didn't he announce it to priests or the rabbis, to the scribes, the Pharisees? Why didn't he announce it to the leaders of his people? Or why didn't he announce it to the Roman government? After all, the Romans ruled the known world back then. Why didn't he make the announcement to King Herod? Why not to the high priest? Or at least, why not to fishermen? Why not to pottery makers or farmers? Why shepherds of all people? And so today we're going to explore five reasons why possibly God chose to announce the birth of his son, first and foremost, to shepherds. The first reason I want to explore with you is this. God loves to do what is unexpected. He loves it. Have you ever noticed? I mean, he just seems to get a kick out of it. The children of Israel, he's told them to come out of the land of Egypt and come to a place that he's going to show them. There they are. Their backs are to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is before them. There is no place for them to go. And Pharaoh and his army know it. What does God do? No problem. I'm going to open up the sea so you can walk across on dry land, no less. God loves to do the unexpected. Who would have known? And then they're wandering in Israel. I mean, in the wilderness before they get to Israel. They're wandering around and they're thirsty. I would think that God would bring them to an oasis, but no, that's too easy. God brings them to a deserted place, and all there are is rocks, and he tells Moses, go and speak to that rock, because out of that rock I'm going to provide water for my people. And they wander a little further, and they think, what are we going to eat? We have all these livestock, all these children, all these people. Where are we going to get food to feed them in the desert? And God, once again, decides to do something completely unexpected. When you go to bed tonight, get ready, because tomorrow when you wake up, there's going to be a surprise for you. I'm going to rain something called manna, bread from heaven, and it's going to cover the ground, and you're going to be able to go out and gather it and grind it up like grain, and you'll be able to eat it as you would bread. God loves to do the unexpected, doesn't he? And you know what? Jesus grew up and became just like his father. He too loved to do the unexpected. So there he was. He had the multitudes gathered around him. He's in the wilderness, and they're hungry. And they're thinking, where are we going to get enough bread to feed all of this group? Jesus says, don't worry about it. I've got it covered. We got a couple of loaves of bread here and a couple of fish. I'm going to multiply them and feed this great multitude. Who would have ever guessed? Yeah. And then there was another time when Jesus was walking into a little city called Nain. It just so happened that there was a widow and her only son had died. And so there was a funeral procession going out of the city as he and his disciples are walking into the city. Now those in the funeral procession all had expected that they were going to take the casket with the little dead body in it of this child and bury it into the ground. But who would have known? Jesus loves to do the unexpected. And he raised that child from the dead. And remember when he was there, he came to the seashore and to the land of the Gadadeans, and a demon-possessed man ran down the hill to him. He had 2,000 demons in him. And Jesus cast the demon out of him, and he cast them into the swine. And the herd of swine ran down the hill and into the sea. Who would have ever expected that? And remember when Jesus' friend Lazarus had died? For 4 days he'd been dead. They'd already buried him. They were having the mourning process, and everybody was weeping and wailing. And Jesus and his disciples showed up, and they expected him to join in the mourning process. But instead, what does Jesus do? He calls Lazarus forth and raises him from the dead. Jesus, like God his Father, loves to do the unexpected. Now, think about this for a moment. If you or I were a Jewish man or woman, and we had heard about the Messiah, and God promising to send his son, the Messiah of God, to come into the world to save his people from their sins. And this promise had been for centuries and centuries beforehand. And we were going to come up with a story of how Jesus would come into the world, the promised Messiah, would we ever have come up with a story that we just read here in the Gospel of Luke? A story about a baby born to two poor peasants in an insignificant town called Bethlehem, to be found in a stable with animals wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feeding trough? I don't think so. And then would we have made the first announcement, the grand introduction of this promised long-awaited Messiah to shepherds? One Jewish scholar wrote concerning the circumstances of Christ's death, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke that we just read, that they afford the strongest indirect evidence of the truth of this narrative. For if it were the outcome of Jewish imagination, where is the bias for it in the contemporary expectation? Would Jewish legend have ever presented its Messiah as born in a stable to such chance circumstances had consigned to his mother? The whole current of Jewish opinion would run contrary to that direction. No one would have come up with a story like this, because God loves to do the unexpected. Now, the second reason I believe God chose shepherds to announce first the birth of his son is because of the location of the shepherds. Their location. Remember in verse 8 it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were close to baby Jesus. And isn't that where every one of us belong? In that same location? And did they know that when it's time to be close to Christ, that's the time that's best in our life? That's the time when life is going to be the very best it can be for us. And when we're close to Christ, we see him more clearly. And that's what they understood. That's what we should understand. And the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's a promise. When we draw close to Jesus, he also, in turn, draws near to us. And notice they were watching or keeping watch over their flock by night. These shepherds were faithful to their duty. They were faithful to that which they had entrusted to their care. And do you remember in our story that it says in verse angel that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So far, so good. There's only one angel that's talking to these shepherds, right? But suddenly something takes place that required the whole expanse of heaven. Look at verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Whoa, perhaps God announced the birth of his son to shepherds because they were in the place that could contain this announcement group of angels, this multitude of angels that was going to now resound this heavenly choir to them. The third reason that God chose shepherds to announce the birth of his son, I believe, is notice the response of the shepherds. The response of the shepherds. Verse 9, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid." These shepherds feared the Lord. They weren't your religious type of people, but they were God-fearing people. They feared the Lord. They had a reverence for God. And Proverbs 14 says, "The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." These shepherds had a humble fear and reverence for God, and they were spiritually minded. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this. He looks up into heaven and he praises his Father. He says, "I praise you, Lord, that you have kept things from those who are prideful and wise in the world's eyes, and you reveal things to babes." God loves to reveal spiritual secrets, his best secrets, to those that are just so humble, like shepherds, babes, like shepherds, small in the sight of the world, but large in the sight of God. And notice also, these shepherds were obedient. Look at their obedience. Verse 15, "And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger." So they went out and instantly obeyed the word of the Lord. They were instantly obedient. And then after they heard and saw, what did they do? They immediately went out and shared this good news to others. And it says in verse 17, "And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." They weren't even told to go out and share any good news. They couldn't help themselves. They wanted to go out and share this news with everyone. And aren't we also to make known widely the same great news about Christ being born? They weren't instructed to do so, but it was natural for them to do it. It was simple for them to do it. Key point, the shepherds couldn't keep this good news to themselves. How dare we think that we can? Why would we think we could. Have we found that same Jesus? Do we understand that same good news? Have we discovered that same joy that they found there in Bethlehem? They couldn't help but share the good news. So let's review these first three reasons. First, God loves to do the unexpected. That's why he chose shepherds. Secondly, it was because of the location of the shepherds. And third, we looked at the response of the shepherds. But there's more. Let's continue on. The fourth reason I believe God chose shepherds was this. A shepherd king was born in Israel. A shepherd king was born in Israel. And it's important to remember that as we read this Christmas story, we can oftentimes miss those details. But Jesus must be born of the line of David. He must have been from the house and lineage of David. 1,000 years before Christ was born, there was a shepherd in Israel named David. And he took care of his father's sheep. And he rose up and God exalted him to be king and shepherd over his people, Israel. And God made promises to that king, David, that he would send Messiah. He would send a king that would rule over his people, and it would come out of David's loins. He would be one of the great, 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 great grandchildren of King David himself. So now to this new generation of Jews, this new generation that's risen up over all these centuries later, God is saying, I am presenting to you and to all people my shepherd king. He's come to take care of all of God's people. So we can understand a little bit why God didn't use the rich of the world, the educated of the world, the popular of the world. We kind of understand why God didn't announce the birth of his son to the Roman government and the Roman governors. And we've come to understand why God had chosen to bring the wonderful news of his son Jesus to shepherds there in Israel. But now, I want you to think with me. Why did God choose these particular shepherds? There were many other shepherds in Israel, but why these shepherds? So that's what I want to explore as we look at our fifth reason before we close this morning. And the reason, fifthly, is this. A lamb was born that night. A lamb was born that night. Do you remember when John the Baptist was there in his public ministry and he was baptizing by the shores of the Jordan River? And Jesus began his public ministry. And as he came on the scene, John the Baptist immediately pointed him out and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And you know, when you think about it, the picture of a lamb is really the most comprehensive picture of Jesus in all of the scripture. It goes all the way back to the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. And Abel sacrificed a lamb. And then we move forward a little bit to Abraham with his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And he sacrificed in substitution and in place of his son Isaac, his only son, he sacrifices a male sheep in place of him. And then we move forward a little bit more to the Passover lamb. And it's at Passover that the children of Israel would remember that their Savior, God, had come and delivered them out of bondage, out of slavery, and out of harsh ruling over them by the Egyptian people. And they would remember that year after year as they celebrated this Passover celebration with a lamb. And then do you remember we just finished our study in the book of Revelation and we saw Jesus in Revelation pictured as what? There before the throne of God, he was pictured as a lamb freshly slain. And he was the only one found in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. In all of God's creation, he was the only one worthy to take the scroll and to release its seven seals, that lamb before the throne of God. And I want you to think of something else. As we think of the birth of Christ, we remember that he was born to die, as Katie shared with us in our Christmas countdown focus last week. It's all part of that package. And what's profound to me is we read the Christmas story and we correlate it with what we understand of the crucifixion story. Because we understand, as we read the crucifixion story, that it was on the same night of the Passover preparation that Jesus was being betrayed and being placed upon a cross to die for the sins of his people. And the high priest there and Pilate had Jesus standing before him, and each time he stood before the high priest or in front of Pilate, he was quiet. He was silent. And they even questioned him on it. Have you nothing to say about these things? Why don't you speak for yourself? But he, according to Isaiah, was like a sheep before its shearers. He opened not his mouth. And then Pilate questioned him, didn't he? And he examined him. And three times the Bible declares that Pilate spoke these words, "I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him at all." Three times Pilate declares that. And it's at the same time that Pilate, the Roman governor, is examining Jesus, the Lamb of God, and finding absolutely no fault in him, the high priest and the others are now doing their priestly service at the same moment, examining the lambs that are brought before them for the Passover sacrifices, and they would examine them because only the lambs that had no fault and no blemish would be sacrificed on that Passover day. And so it was during this time when these priests were examining their lambs, and they had taken those that had passed the inspection for sacrifice. It was at this time that the shepherds are there in the fields, just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, and they are what? Keeping watch over their flocks at night. What flocks are they watching over? These shepherds are watching over the flocks of the sheep that have been found with blemish. They've been rejected. They have spots. They have blemishes. They have imperfections. They did not qualify for sacrifice at Passover time. They were not perfect. And God takes the shepherds that are watching over those same sheep, and he says, "Come, I want to show you my Lamb of God, whom I find faultless and blameless, perfect in my sight, that I have brought into the world to die for the sins of the people." And so it's an amazing thing that God chose shepherds to be the first that he communicated the good news to. And we understand he didn't want to communicate it to the high and the important and the mighty and the powerful of this world. He communicates truth to simple people, to the lowly people, to the humble people, to the common people, just like you and me. Isn't that wonderful? That God doesn't just give knowledge and understanding to those that are the elite. He gives it to all who receive, all who are open. And so as we think about Christmas and we examine this story about the Christmas shepherds, we need to remember Christmas is not just about a baby born in a manger. It's about a lamb that was brought into the world to suffer and to die for our sins. Because only a perfect sacrifice, only a perfect lamb could qualify to take the place of your imperfection and my imperfection before God. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, we get so enthralled in the Christmas story. And like Jimmy shared with his Christmas countdown, we lose sight of the fact that Christmas is all about a crucifixion as well. It's a time to be jolly, but it's also a time to be so humbly sorrowful, Lord, to be so humbly changed, to be so humbly, Lord, in your sight, that we recognize how much we need you and how much you've done for us. So, Lord, we don't lose sight of the joy of our salvation, but we remember the cost of the gift, far greater than any of us could have bought or paid for. So, Lord, our hearts are filled with appreciation to you this morning. And we ask, Lord, that as we go about our business and our busyness of this Christmas season, that you would help us, Lord, to be faithful like the shepherds, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, to share truly the reason for this wonderful season we call Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.